Hello, and a very happy new year to you all, and welcome to the first episode of 2020 of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marco's Chipper. You cannot beat the scran doing it, Marco's. I'm Colin Byers, and joining me as usual, full of new year cheer, is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome.
Good evening.
Right, this week we'll be looking at the continued controversy from the Clyde game, in particular Simon Ferry's red card. Taking a look back at the Raith defeat, previewing our first home game of 2020 as Falkirk come to Balmoor, and we'll be announcing the winner of our New Year's resolution competition. So, Happy New Year, Martin. How was your New Year's celebrations?
Yeah, Happy New Year to yourself. Yeah, it was good. A fine evening was had.
Did you catch any of the exciting TV over the festive period?
I didn't catch much of it, no. I was enjoying myself with a few festive drinks.
A couple of shandies.
Yes, we shall call it that.
Good stuff. Right, we'll crack on with as what we're calling the Clyde controversy. A couple of, Saturday just gone past. We'll deal with the facts of as we know it, as we understand, first of all. So Simon Ferry got sent off for serious foul play. There was then a melee which resulted in two or three players then getting booked. Simon Ferry was then given a second red, and an appeal by the club was dismissed for the first red, and he will now serve a four-game ban. So that's kind of everything as we understand. However, it is not, as we understand, as straightforward, is a little bit more complicated as it is. It's just quite a sort of black and white. So prior to the game, the Peterhead videographer was out ill. There was a bit of a bug going around the club, so he was out. So Peterhead don't actually have their own video footage, but they'd asked Clyde prior to the game if they could use their footage, because Clyde obviously have their own. And they upload onto their YouTube channels every game that they play. So Clyde was very welcoming and saying, yes, that's fine, we'll easily do that. But the biggest thing out of that was that Clyde have and still haven't really released or uploaded their highlights for that game yet. But we'll come back to that because I think that's going to be a bigger issue. But what we've also seen is that we also think that it was the Clyde player, Ray Grant, that was actually showing the red and not Simon Ferry. And his reaction, I think, is the reason why there is the melee. He's reacted badly, and then that's the flashpoint, and that's where everything sort of kicks off from there. As I said, it looks very much like he's sent off Ray Grant, but for some reason he's then told Simon Ferry, actually, you're the one that's been sent off for the tackle.
Yeah, it's quite a lot to get your head around and digest, first of all. So we know he's been sent off for serious foul play. And as you said, we believe that Ray Grant has got the red card. For some unknown reason, and we're still not quite sure, it appears that Simon Ferry was shown the red card rather than Ray Grant. So first of all, you're questioning the referee is, if he has shown Ray Grant the red card, why has he then changed his mind? You would like to think that if there has been something that we're not aware of, that his linesman would help him out. I don't think that's happened either.
No, I think they've let the referee down. Both linesmen have let the referee down.
Yeah, which is quite surprising, because in the first half, when there was a tackle made earlier on in the game, the linesman closest to us by the main stand, he was very quick to come down and try and help out his referee. I don't think the linesman on the other side for this melee has helped the situation whatsoever. I think he did come on the pitch. I think all three of them were on the pitch at one point or another towards the end. Simon Ferry's been shown the red card. We have, you know, the club's appealed it and it's been dismissed for the second one. It just seems a bit of a carry-on, a bit of a farce. And we did comment last week that we felt the referee lost control in the second half, and what's come out in the subsequent days after that just proves that we were right.
And I don't know why he would think, why he would change his mind and give Brandison, because it wasn't though, because what we've seen, obviously, the referees look straight at Ray Grant and he's showing him, you would think he's showing him the right, because he's not even looking at Simon Ferry. Simon Ferry's waiting, he's right. And Ray Grant's given that kind of hands and head and hand on head kind of reaction, which means he's a bit dismayed by the actual red card itself. Then there's obviously everything kicks off, and then for some reason it's Simon Ferry is when it works. If Ray Grant had been injured in that tackle, you would think, well, yeah, he maybe did. But both players got up pretty quick. There was nobody sort of made anything of it apart from the referee.
At the time when we seen it at the game, I was actually surprised a red card was shown. I thought it was, and I still do feel it was two committed players going for the ball. And when you look back on the footage that has been released, which is very brief, I'll add, the clip that you do see, it does still, to my opinion, look like two committed players going for the ball. There is maybe a foul, what way you want to give it, that's probably the referee, he's closer than what we are, and the footage maybe not the best. Still think it's two committed challenges.
Yeah, and then he decides that he's going to give Simon Ferry a second. Now, this is where it gets a little bit farcical again, because the first that the club or the player or the manager or anybody associated with the club knew that he'd gotten a second red was when on Monday morning they received the paperwork, the administrative stuff from the referee, and they noticed that he'd been given another red for violent conduct. Now, to me, that is completely wrong. He should have, at some point, said to either the player, or said to the manager, or somebody at the end of the game, said, look, I'm going to give Simon Ferry another red for X. And at least then they would have known. But then just to kind of just decide, out of the blue, oh, I'm going to give him another red.
Seems a bit of a coward's way out. He's obviously felt that he's got valid reasons in the referee's opinion to warrant a second red card. But as you said, surely he would tell the club themselves, that the player, surely the player's got a right to know that he's been sent off for a second time.
Yep.
And the manager as well. You know, he's on the dugout, he's got to be aware of what's going on. And the referee lost control, and it just highlighted in this situation as well.
The club themselves were obviously pretty adamant that they were going to be appealing for was the red card, but obviously as it turns transpired, it was the first red card. So they were preparing themselves for this first appeal for the red card. And obviously this kind of threw a bit of a spanner in the works, because all of a sudden they can't appeal the second one because they're not prepared for it.
Yeah.
And as we said, for some reason, Clyde has kept the footage. They've been unwilling to release the footage and things like that. The referee, it seems to be, these referees are untouchable. I think as football fans, you would know that over the years, because referees are pretty untouchable. The SFA will always back their referees, which is fair enough, and you can do that in public. Hopefully, in private, they're saying to these referees, look, maybe you got that wrong, which I doubt. I very much doubt that that's the thing. But there has to be a proper procedure or a proper sanction for that the referee has to go through before he can then start saying, right, we're going to give him a second red. Because at the end of the day, he could be sitting at him and thought, Kevin, he looked at me funny. I'm going to, in my report, I'm going to put down he's going to get a red card. He could do that with any player.
We often criticise players, or you watch a game, you'll criticise a team. If a player has a bad couple of games, he's dropped. If a manager has a bad couple of games, he becomes under pressure, under scrutiny, and eventually he normally loses his job. When a referee has a bad game or a bad couple of weeks, it doesn't, to my awareness, doesn't look like anything happens to him. He still gets another fixture, he still gets another game, he's still churning out the terrible decisions that we see throughout Scottish football, not just in League One, you'll see it in the Premiership, right through the junior leagues as well. Nothing seems to happen to the referees or the officials who make these poor decisions. And again, we've banged on about it for a couple of weeks in episodes, that the refereeing gets worse and worse. Now, there's meant to be these proper channels that they go through, and they're doing coaching, they're proper training, they analyse themselves, they watch videos. I'm not seeing any evidence of anything improving.
No.
And that's the worrying thing as a fan. Mm-hmm. You go to the game, your team can be playing brilliant for 85 minutes, and it can be a referee decision, not a player decision, not anything to do with tactics from a manager, but a refereeing decision can change the whole game.
Yeah.
And we're not seeing anything that of any benefit to us.
Yeah, and it, it now means that Simon's going to be missing the next four games, which is obviously going to be a big blow for the club. But let's look at the Clyde side of things then. As you said, that they were willing to give Peterhead their footage to show that Peterhead could put on their own highlights package on the website. They've not done that. The only footage that they have released is this little, 10-second clip of the tackle, which, as you said, gets caught just right at the end. So is there a possibility then that they've looked at this footage and they've seen something that they don't want Peterhead to see, or have they seen something that they don't want the compliance officers at the SFA to see?
Well, there was fairly, as we said, a melee got up at the end, and it just seems quite convenient that Peterhead asked for Clyde to do the footage, and it cuts right at the moment after the referees produce the red card to Ray Grant, Simon Ferry in that situation. Mm-hmm. There is maybe something in the melee that you could say, well, that's potentially a red card, or the compliance officer could look at that. Because we've yet to see, as you've mentioned, the highlight package on any social media, on their website, and there has been nothing uploaded about the Peterhead game. The Clyde spoke about Danny Lennon's post-match comments was posted on the Saturday night, and then there was nothing, absolutely nothing, until about Tuesday, Wednesday, and it wasn't even about the game on the Saturday. No highlight package, nothing. I am suspicious, to say the least.
There has to be something. They've obviously, and again, the compliance officers can only sort of do so much, but if they'd spotted someone, the compliance officer said, right, well, this is a footage, we're looking at that, we're looking at the actual incident, but hold on a minute, we can actually see there's something going on over here, there's something going on over here. It makes you wonder, I think, well, actually, what did they see, and why are they not letting us see anything? Because they were quick to put out their highlights for their last game against Shamrock. I think they get up on the Sunday night.
Yeah, they went up at 3:20 on the Sunday, so less than 24 hours after their game had concluded, the highlight package was up. And their previous game before we played them, the game was on the Saturday, and their highlight package was up at 6:05 on the Monday on their Twitter account. So I look forward to seeing the highlights of the Peterhead game very soon.
Well, we should be seeing it. And by all accounts, they even played against 12 men against Sonora as well. So
maybe why the highlights were up so quick.
Yes, aye. But yeah, it does raise sort of more questions than it answers. And again, in that whole melee, the chances are there should have been more reds. You didn't want to see players being sent off, but the chances are there probably would have been at least another maybe one or two, whether that's for Peterhead players or whether that's for Clyde players, we don't know. Our goalkeeping friend, Mr. David Mitchell, he ran 60 yards to get himself involved with that. He didn't receive a second yellow. I'm pretty sure he should have seen a second yellow for being involved. Running that 60 yards, he just deserved a second yellow for that anyway. I mean, if you just kept him, I think he actually ran past Rory McAllister at one point to get himself involved. So really, the referee, as I said last week, the referee and the linesman have both failed, and they've both failed dramatically in this situation. They've let it get out of control.
Yeah, but unfortunately it's a common theme with referees and assistant referees. They're meant to be there to help the referees. They don't like being called linesmen or lineswomen these days. They want to be assistant referees.
Well, the referee.
Exactly. Go and assist your referee. He obviously needs help. He's trying to deal with 22 players on the pitch. You've got a different view. Speak to you. But the referee was very quick to brandish the red card as well. It's almost like he had the red card waiting to come out. He hasn't even seen the melee and the challenge and then spoke to his linesmen on either side and got their opinion. The red card is dished out very, very quick.
What he should have done was he should have just taken that extra few seconds and just see what's happening.
Which we praised him about doing when the first challenge, when Ali Love came running right over screaming for a yellow card, and he says no, he took a step back, whereas it was the complete opposite with the Simon Ferry situation. The red card was out really quick.
It was like his evil twin came out in the second half or something.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to the referee at half time, but it certainly wasn't the same one in the second half as
far. The linesman, as you mentioned, on sort of our side, the main stand side, for him to be of benefit in that situation, yes, get yourself across and observe what's happening, but don't get right involved. Stay 10-15 yards back and just look at the situation. Once everything calms down, get the referee's attention, say, right, here's red cards for red 2, red 4, and blue 2, or something like that, and just say, right, deal with them, and then come back, and I'll give you the yellow cards. If he'd done that, would have been praising him, but he didn't. He got himself right involved again. And as I said, they've all completely lost the situation altogether. And as I said, Simon Ferry's going to miss the next four. Obviously, he missed the Raith away game. He's going to miss the two home games against Falkirk and Dumbarton, and the Montrose away. He's going to be a big miss. As he's going to miss every game in January. That's a big amount of games to lose because of, shall we say, incompetent refereeing again.
Yeah, the referees, they do have a hard job. There's no doubt in that. But they've got to help themselves, in my opinion, in that situation. Use the assistant referees to your benefit. Speak to them, get their thoughts, their opinions, and then deal with it. If he takes 2 minutes to talk to his assistants, then brandish talkings to yellow cards and red cards, that's fair enough. He's weighed up all the facts to him that he's aware of and dealt with it from then. But the red card was out very, very quick for a challenge that I feel was 50-50 at best.
50-50, yeah, exactly. Excuse me, but as I said, he's going to be a big loss. So obviously, we'll remember the referee's name anyway. We'll remember him if he comes back again. But again, as you said, if somebody in a team makes a mistake or continues to play badly, they get dropped. But there doesn't seem to be any sort of sanctions against these referees. There's nobody coming out and saying, right, this is why he did it, this is what he did wrong, or this is how he should have done it differently.
Yeah.
There's no sort of transparency within the SFA or the refereeing. It's just a case of, well, we're the referee, we can do what we like. And that's a very, very dangerous path to go down. Because if they're going to start saying, well, actually, I'm going to have him a red card, I didn't give him it during the game, but hell, I'm going to give him it after, because I can.
I wouldn't expect referees to come out in the interviews and explain their decisions, but if a manager, his team has been beaten 5-6, 7-0, whatever it be, he's still to come out and do a post-match interview and talk about things that's happened in the game. Referee has a howler or a brilliant game and they just get in the car and they're away home.
Yeah.
There's got to be some accountability that the fans are made aware of. It's okay maybe dealing with it internally at the SFA, which I highly doubt happens anyway, but there's got to be something on the face of it that fans are aware that, okay, that referee in particular has had a couple of bad games, but this is what they're doing to try and rectify and help him as a referee.
Because it becomes more of, we talk more about the referees than we do actually the game, and that's dangerous. We should be talking about goals, we should be talking about fantastic players, etc.
Because the Clyde game is a really good game.
It was.
And it was just spoiled.
Competitive.
Yes, it was just spoiled by that incident and melee at the end of the game, which, as you can see, we're talking about for a couple of weeks after.
And we're still going to be good about it. I think this could be something that could rumble on.
Oh, I don't have any doubts about that.
I think it could rumble on for a few weeks. I think Mr. Ferry might need to kind of just reel in his Twitter account for the next couple of weeks, because I think he might be being monitored slightly, but who knows. But as I said, he was going to miss the next four. He was going to miss the Raith game. Obviously, he was one of the two changes for that game. Ferry obviously was suspended, Fraser was out injured, but returning Conroy and Leach came in, so it was pretty much like for like changes. Instead of having the normal 4-1-4-1 with Ferry shielding the back four, it was more of a 4-5-1, and it was pretty flat, sort of five across the midfield. First 25 minutes, I think we felt that Peterhead kind of competed pretty well, considering that obviously the first two games we got beaten pretty badly. Then obviously we did the Scottish Cup game, again we pretty much competed pretty well down there as well. But the first 25 minutes in this one, I felt we competed quite well.
Yes, completely agree. Like you said, we played them in the Cup, and I thought we had a really good performance in that game. And I think we showed signs of that on Saturday in this game, where we weren't worried to go down. Formation-wise, I think we certainly missed Simon Ferry's screening, because there was periods in the game, although we competed well, that they got down their side of our defence pretty easily. But on the whole, in the first half up until the goal, yeah, I thought we competed pretty well.
Yeah, and I think once they scored their second, I think it was pretty much even Stevens. But again, the two goals we're going to talk about for Raith, we're going to talk about mistakes, and that is the reoccurring theme throughout the season. First goal after 9 minutes. Now, we've said umpteen times.
Early goals.
When you go down there, didn't concede early. Jim even said that as well, didn't concede early. So 9 minutes in, what happens? Boom.
Concede an early goal.
But it's an unavoidable goal.
Yeah.
Again. Now, Hooper's done really well. He's made a tackle. He's won the ball back on the edge of his box. And then for some reason, he decides we're going to play out the back. And that's where things start to go wrong.
Yeah, exactly. It was the start of it. Like you said, he's got the ball. He could play a forward pass or try and put down the flanks either side. He's gone across goal and backwards to Greg Fleming. Not the best of passes. Greg Fleming's then played it out again. Not the best pass out to Ferguson. And that in turn's led to Ferguson facing in towards the pitch, taking a heavy touch. And from then it's just transpired right into the middle of the park, and we've conceded from it, albeit it was taken at a slight deflection. But you know, there's a couple of things that are avoidable when you take it back to the root. If Hooper, he's got the ball, he's in control of it, rather than going backwards, I know he's trying to keep possession, but there's maybe a forward ball.
He could actually probably play it to Ferguson direct.
Yeah, he probably could miss out the middle man. I think once it goes back to Fleming, ready to get their press on, and in the end that's made the pass out from Greg's not the best either.
It kind of sort of more comes off his heel, I think, rather than actual his instep.
Yeah.
Which I think probably is the reason why it's gone where it's gone, rather than going direct to him. It's on his weaker foot as well, but a goalkeeper being a goalkeeper, modern day goalkeepers, they should be able to kick with both, well, I say kick with both feet, he struggles with his stronger ones sometimes as well, but you get what I mean, Ken.
Yeah.
It should have been, it's an avoidable goal again. But then, we didn't put our heels down straight away, pretty much, 11 minutes in. There was an equaliser. And I'm going to say how it started, because there was a strong tackle from Jamie Stevenson in the middle of the park to win possession, which, ironically, the week before was a red card for Simon Ferry. So
The consistency of referees again.
We're going to want to harp on about the referee again, but he's won a strong tackle. In fairness, the ref player again just gets up and gets on with it. He maybe had a little, it's a foul kind of thing, but he got on and got away with it. So if that was a red card last week, surely Jamie Stevenson should have been red carded for that one as well. However, we didn't want to see that again, but I just wanted to kind of make that point. Obviously, the ball then makes its way down the left. Lyle's linked well because he's managed to get the ball from Boyle on the left. He's then pinged it across to David Ferguson. And that's what you're looking for your lone striker, to link the play, bring in people, and that's what he's done. And then David Ferguson, again, he's put in a fantastic cross again. Now, it's a great finish from Lyle, but in front of him was Jack Leach. Question for you, has Jack Leach missed his chance and air-kicked it? Is he going to shout from Derek Lyle, or is he just dumbing it because he knows Derek Lyle's there?
There's an argument for all three. In fairness, not to sit in the fence, but there is an argument for all three.
If he's dummying that for Derek Lyle, he's a better player than what we give him credit for.
I would like to think that Derek Lyle is an experienced player. I'd like to think he's seen the move unfold, and he's given Jack Leach a shout.
He's on mark as well, which was the strange thing.
And it was a really good finish in the bottom corner, which is why I think he's able to see the cross coming in from Ferguson, which is why I personally think that Jack's gotten a shout to leave it.
And even after that, we always felt that the counter-attack, I think, was set up pretty well. The counter-attack was always on. And Scott Brown managed to break through at one point, and that was resulted in Mackay's first yellow. He wasn't through on goal, but he was just about 10, 20 yards inside the Wraith half. So I always felt that the counter-attack was on, and that kind of style away from home would suit us a bit more, rather than try to be a bit more aggressive in attacking. When you've got guys like Scott Brown who will be box-to-box, that's a great tactic to have. But then, as I said, the second goal then came about. Again, mistake. This time it's from Jason Brown, unfortunately. He's misread the flight. Has he misread the flight, or has he just completely missed it altogether?
I think he's... I think it's more the bounce. It sort of bounced up and he sort of tried to, well, I say tried to clear it, he's tried to get rid of it. His left foot, he's gone over his left foot, he's then lost balance a little bit, he's been turned by the striker. It was just a calamity, really.
You could say, well, it was, yeah, you could blame the plastic pitch, but they played four times there now this season. So it shouldn't be a surprise how the ball bounces.
No.
And they play on a plastic pitch at Trainer.
Yeah, for every week,
so there shouldn't be any. That shouldn't be an excuse, but again, it's he's had a mistake, and again, and maybe going to be overly critical, but I think Hooper's out of position slightly as well because he's followed the striker, who's dropped deep, and then the midfielder's gone past him. Whereas I think Hooper could have maybe just passed him on to somebody and just said, "Look, when kind of Conroy was there or Brown was there or somebody, just say, look, he's coming deep, just follow him," because when the cross comes in for the goal. The only guys that was there was David Ferguson and Ryan Conroy. Ryan Conroy shouldn't be anywhere near that. There should be another defender.
The switch should have happened where Hooper has passed him on to Conroy, so Conroy then follows and Hooper drops slightly deeper. You would put, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but then with the mistake from Brown, you've got Hooper alongside. It could have, you know, it cuts out that pass into the box.
Yeah. And after that, as we said, it seemed to be all Wraith for the rest of the first half. A couple of good saves, a double save in fact from Fleming, was followed up by another save. He did keep us in the game for large parts of it. And then there was the penalty, another penalty conceded away from home. I would put this one in the soft bracket. There was a push by Boyle. Jim is adamant it's not, but I think if you were getting that one again, you would take it. It is soft, but you would take that one.
It's soft, but it's one of them with the incompetency of Scottish referee, and you didn't give the referee an option. It's probably unfortunate that happens at every corner and every free kick in football, but that little push, the referee's looking right at it. It's probably one of them you'd class a home penalty as well.
It was one of those that there was really nobody round about him, and by that I mean usually in a corner there's about six or seven players all sort of competing for the same 2 yards of space. And it just seemed to be that it was Lyle and Boyle and the Wraith player, I forget his name now, but they were the only ones that was in that space, and then there was nobody blocking the referee's view.
Yeah.
And he saw it, which was rather unfortunate. But again, it resulted in a fantastic finish, save from Fleming again.
He's got a good record of penalty saving.
He does.
He does his homework really well.
He does it well. And it was a good penalty as well, because it was right in the corner, right in the bottom left-hand corner from Fleming's point of view. But he's guessed, and he's saved it again. And he has to be commended for keeping the score down again.
Yeah.
Because at that stage, 3-1, you would think, well, that's pretty much game over. It might have opened up the floodgates, but 2-1 doing at half time, you were quite happy with that. I'm going to highlight another little wee incident again from just at the first half. We mentioned last week about David Mitchell, Clyde goalkeeper, playing dead, I think would be the phrase, after he collided, and I say that in inverted commas, with Rolly McAllister. Fleming and the Wraith striker bailed, went in for a 50-50. Fleming got the ball. There was a slight coming together between the two. But you know what? They both got up, shook hands, and got on with the game.
Contact sport, man's game.
Just shows you the difference between from one game to another, and how people conduct themselves within the game as well. So just wanted to point that out again.
Credit to both players for the sportsmanship of the game.
That's exactly it. So into the second half then. Second half was slightly more even, but not much chances created. There was a few chances towards the end for Peterhead, but there was a red card for Mackay. He got his second yellow. I've said this one is probably... the one he's gotten the yellow card for was probably soft, but it's a combination of fouls throughout the half or throughout the game as well. He's probably got in a second.
Yeah, I think it's slightly harsh, maybe. Like you said, it's probably a totalling up throughout the game for challenges that he's made. I think if you take both those incidents isolated, are they both yellow cards? maybe, but I'd probably say maybe not. It's harsh.
Yeah, he probably should have been sent off prior to that, but he's from been that sent incident, off.
Yeah,
he's been sent off, and that was that. So it gave us a bit of a lift, but again, we didn't really sort of create much. There was a couple of chances from corners.
Sort of huffed and puffed, but not really. I think we hit the bar right at the end as well.
I don't think the keeper really had a save to make as such. I mean, at one point with Smith, McAllister, Lyle and Armour all on the pitch, and we still struggled a little bit. As we said, Lyle hit the bar towards the end, but at the end of the game, it's two mistakes has cost us. You cut them out, and there was really not much else for Rafe.
Yeah, we said it about a month ago. If we're able to cut out the sloppiness at the back, we would be a real side in this division. There is a team there,
mm-hmm.
if you cut out the sloppy mistakes.
Yeah, sloppy mistakes and just generally beating your head against the wall with that kind of thing. But it's unfortunate that in that game it was two mistakes in the same game.
Yeah, that is unfortunate.
You could get away with one mistake. But I would argue a point that both Brown and Hooper have improved as a partnership.
Yeah.
The mistakes that Brown has been making maybe weren't being punished last season because of, well, we're in a lower division, so the standard maybe wasn't there. That's not being disrespectful to the players there, but this season he can't make those mistakes because he's going to get punished by teams like Wraith or Falkirk or whoever.
It may be just as unfortunate that the mistakes did come again against Wraith.
Yeah.
And that's why it's been highlighted more.
And it might be one of those things where he might need a kick up the backside and just say, like, he's a good player, but you've got to cut out those mistakes. Just simple things like, if you knock that out for a throw in, they're going to score.
Yeah, just that little bit of concentration.
That's it. So perhaps maybe his New Year's resolution is to kind of stick to the basics and get on with that, and stick with the simple things. So, which brings us on to neatly to our competition that it wasn't really a competition to start off with, but our sponsor Marcus Chipper was kind enough to say, right, we'll give you a voucher, and for the winner, we've got loads of entries in, but Martin, you've got the winner there.
Yeah, we had an email in from Graham Francis, and his New Year's resolution was for Gary Fraser to start beating his man, the first man at a corner on a regular basis, and find a Peterhead player.
Which would be a good thing, because he's either going to hit it really short or he's
too long.
Too much.
So that was a good one.
Which was the best one that we picked out. So congratulations to Graham. We'll be in touch and hope you collect your voucher. And thanks to Marco as well, Marco Chipper, for donating that voucher as well. So thank you to you. So next week's game, or this Saturday's game, we've got Falkirk coming to town. Again, missing Simon Ferry for this one, but what's your thoughts on this one then?
It'll be, in my opinion, a completely different Falkirk team that we played in the opening day of the season.
Yeah.
Under the new management duo, who are doing really well, in fact, since they've taken over. Again, it's one of them games, you almost say it's a free hit. I say it every time we play Wraith and Falkirk. But it really is. But yeah. It's about not conceding early. You know, teams don't like coming to Balmour. We've shown that in recent games that Balmour is a tough place to come here and play football. If you've got a windy day with a swirling wind, I think they'll fancy it. And that's sometimes when we're at our best, when we're at home. We've got that weather ailments against us. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it could be a good game.
Last week or the week before, I think you said that we could probably take something from the game. Now that obviously Ferry's going to be out, you still think that's going to be the case?
Yes, although it's made slightly harder without Simon Ferry playing, I will say.
Harder. I mean, the team that played obviously in the first game of the season for both teams have changed a fair bit. But I think we've got a settled back 4-5, if you want to include the goalkeeper. They are undefeated under McCracken and Miller, 3 wins and 3 draws. So there are going to be no mugs, but as we said before as well, David will have them briefed pretty well on how things are up here.
Where yeah.
Previously, I think it was, I wouldn't say it was a culture shock, but I think they probably thought coming up here, being relegated, first game of the season, right, we're going to come here, we're going to get loads of fans in, and we're going to walk away with 3 points. I think they got a bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
I think that's resulting in how they've struggled a little bit this season.
Yeah, I think there may be a bit of pressure on Falkirk in the game, because they're looking at a league table, they're obviously wanting to go up as champions, or certainly at bare minimum go up via the promotion playoffs. Mm-hmm. Coming to Peterhead, nearly the best of form, Simon Ferry's out suspended. You know, there is an argument to say that they're under a bit of pressure to win. So again, if you mm-hmm. keep it tight, they don't concede many goals at all. They've only conceded 12 goals in the league, which is a phenomenal record defensively they've got. We struggle at times to create chances and score goals. They are going to, you'd imagine, be very tight at the back. But it's a different Falkirk team that will be up this time, I think.
Yeah. Obviously, it was nil nil the last time. You probably bite your hand off and take that just now as well, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, without a shadow.
Again, you probably, as you said, you take a 0-0. McManus is obviously going to be the guy to watch. 11 goals this season. Again, I think he was kind of, he struggled a little bit to adapt slightly, but seems to have found his goal scoring touch. So we're just going to keep an eye on him. Referee on Saturday is going to be Stephen Reid, a name that we remember slightly.
Yeah, that was the referee games. With it down at Raith, was it?
Yeah. Part with it. Yeah, he was the guy who didn't give us a penalty when it clearly was a penalty. So he's Jewish one, shall we say.
Yes.
And it's a Balmour, so we'll await the penalty that we should have got.
We often say we're on the harsh end of home penalties, shall we say, so hopefully we get a home penalty this time.
And hopefully we score it, because that would be the thing.
It would be our luck. We get a penalty, and then score.
Miss it. Aye, that's the thing. Right, so we'll end with some predictions then for that one.
I would bite your hand off for a 0-0, so I will sit on the fence and say 0-0.
I'd like to see us winning, but I kind of see us winning it. The pessimist in me would say, right, if we can keep it below two, I think we'll be doing well. Obviously, you want to see your team win, but I think anything other than a draw would be a bonus for us.
Yeah,
A draw would be a good result. If you expect that, if you're gonna get a beating, you'd probably think, well, you'd expect it. But as I said, I think a draw would be a good result. It would be a brilliant result.
Yeah, it is a free hit game. You're not expecting to get anything from it. I think the pressure will be on Falkirk. They will probably, I'd imagine, take a large fan base up as well. They did in the opening day. I don't see why it'd be any different. They'll be expecting probably their fans to come up, win 3-4-0 and think it's an easy game. So if we can certainly turn up and play as well as we can do, we have shown it in glimpses this season, then give Falkirk a game. You never know.
And again, as I said previously as well, if the weather goes in our favour as well, that might be the thing. It helps us slightly. Although, having said that, tonight it's tropical weather outside. It's like 13, 14 degrees.
Yeah.
So we're a bit kind of, oh, right, okay. But anyway, I don't know. But by Saturday, all that'll change. Yeah, so we'll set the fence, we'll just go both a draw, see what happens. So that'll be it for the first episode of 2020. Thanks as always to Martin for joining me. Our thanks goes to you guys for listening, and a big thanks to Marcos Chipper for the sponsor. And thank you for listening, and we'll see you all again later. Cheers.